Tennis.
Okay. I'll plant you water. First, your testimony, and then what you see for the community.
Good morning, listeners. Welcome to Christ Today. Today we have with us two very distinguished gentlemen who enjoy talking about Jesus. We have Thaddeus Metzer from Capay Assembly of God. He is a youth pastor there, the youth pastor of Christ's Ambassadors. And we have Jason Ross with Real Life Church, and he is a man who loves Jesus with all his heart. Welcome, gentlemen, and let's give a prayer of thanksgiving and guidance for the program. Go ahead. Yes, Thaddeus, please.
Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time and your presence being in this program,
yes,
Father.
Lord.
I also ask that you would open up our hearts of all the listeners, Lord God, to receive your word and what you have, that there is power and testimony, Father. Mm-hmm. And I thank you. We just proclaim that over this audience and over this program right now. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Jesus' name.
Amen.
Good morning, Thad.
Good morning.
So why don't you start off with telling us a little bit about yourself and share your testimony and how you got involved and where you're at today.
Totally. You know, testimonies are a funny thing because they're a journey. And partly my journey starts kind of very boring, but I was your typical, church kid. I have awesome parents that love the Lord. And so I grew up in the church, you know, and it was very normal to me to be in church and know God. And so I have an early upbringing that my parents are very strong in their faith. And that was a good thing for me growing up. However, in the process of that, I really feel like it took me a while to really discover God, who God is for myself. A good way to explain that is, and I explain this with the kids in our youth group, is that you can't live off other people's faith. You can get encouraged by other people's faith, but you cannot live on their faith. You have to have your own faith in God. You have to know who God is for yourself. You have to know that he is a real God and not just simply an idea of God. So I would say, It took me a while to discover that for myself, and so I grew up in the same youth group I run now, and I grew a lot there. We had a really good youth pastor named Bob Delray, and he spoke into my life a lot, as well as a lot of other men in our church. So around the age of 17, he actually died, had a heart attack, and passed away. And so, in lieu of that, our youth group was kind of left hanging. And we had it was really devastating to a lot of the kids that were my age. And so I ended up having to, I was asked by a lot of the parents to start leading the youth group because I had a passion for leadership. And so I basically started leading the youth group at the age of 18, which was throwing me into the lion's den, you could say. I was not prepared for that. But anyway, through that experience, I discovered what my calling was and the assignment I had. And so here we are. I've been leading the youth group now for 15 years. And God has been just completely remolding me into who he wants me to be through that process.
Hmm. Hmm. And how has that, how is that?
Well, you know, sometimes we have to be put in situations where there's pressure for us to rise to the occasion. In the Bible, Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, mm-hmm. and he talks about leaven. Mm-hmm. And he says the kingdom of God is like leaven. And leaven is a chemical reaction of yeast in bread. And so if you took leavened bread that was dough and you put it by an oven or in the oven, the leaven would be activated and it would rise. And so it's kind of how I see myself. When the heat's on in life and things start getting a little hot, what's going to activate in your life? Are you going to rise to the occasion? You know, and so that I would say that the pressure of being youth pastor, the pressure in my life of having to be put in situations to test my faith, mm-hmm. has helped me to rise to the occasion. And so God's used that to mold me, you know, mm-hmm. and that's a big part of my testimony is trial by fire, you could say.
It's basically trial by fire or trial by error.
Yeah, totally.
And so the more that you go through, the experiences you go through, the stronger you become and the greater of a testimony you become to the people that you're leading.
Absolutely. And trust me, now I am 10 times the man I was.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously I had a lot to learn. You know, I'm not saying it just boom came to me. You know, we are all in process.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that God can't do something in a minute and help someone grow supernaturally. But for me, it took a long time. And in the last 2 years, I know personally, I have grown so much more in the Lord and his presence than I have in the last 10 years youth pastoring, you know.
So you've been a youth pastor now for 10 years?
A total of 15, but yeah, the last five have been a lot more intense.
What have been some of your challenges that you've been through that where you've seen God shape you and mold you and bring you out stronger than you were before you went through them?
Oh, you know, I'd say the first year of youth pastoring, there was a lot of kids I invested in, and I poured my life into everything I had. I spent time with them during the week, picked them up, took them anywhere they wanted to go, you know, just was there for them and mm-hmm. loved on them well. And a lot of those kids left God, you know, even after sharing my heart, pouring myself into them. They still had to make their own choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a hard reality for me to face as a youth pastor, that my job isn't to control people.
No.
My job is to love people and lead them well. And the rest is up to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we as Christians got to understand we don't have control. God does.
But do you notice that a lot of that going on in the church where pastors or youth pastors or people that are in ministry try to have control?
Good question. You know, I think this is a struggle with anybody in leadership or ministry of any kind. One thing I've really learned over the years, too, is if you want a ministry, just start speaking life into people. Start speaking what God says they are into them.
That's true.
And when you do that, they start realizing who they are and who they're called to be, and then watch out because they're unstoppable if they understand that the anointing and the assignment God's given them.
Understand the assignment that God's given them or that he's called them to with him.
Yeah, I believe he's called all of us to have our identity in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not coming number one. After you learn that,
mm-hmm.
there are specific assignments you will have. Everyone has different ones.
Yeah.
And so part of the speaking into their life is calling out the good that God has in them. And I think a lot of times as Christians in the church especially, we really, we focus too much on what people are not, instead of realizing what they're called to be through God. So I think that's a big part of, if we understand that,
mm-hmm.
it helps us have a better, I would say even attitude towards people, to love them well.
And so how is the youth group that you're ministering to in Cape, how have you seen lately or as of recent, how have you seen the youth maturing or forming, and in what ways have you seen God through you bringing them up to a greater potential in their life and seeing, I mean, what do you have to say about that?
Well, I'm really glad you asked that question. This is one of my passions. Youth have this rawness
mm-hmm.
and this radical, they have nothing that holds them back. So if they start realizing who God is in their life and they start experiencing the presence of God, there is nothing that can stop them because they have no preconceived ideas of what it looks like to follow God. And our youth group's dynamic is a little different. It's multi-denominational. We're based out of an Assembly of God church, which I help lead in that too. But the youth group itself consists of kids from all different denominations. So you have to understand, the way I explain it to parents is we teach the Bible. And, you know, that's a doctrine we teach is Jesus. Jesus mm-hmm. is our doctrine. So, and all the parents understand that and are cool with that. But in lieu of that, we do have a different dynamic where Well, because the kids are come from all different backgrounds, and a lot of them don't even go to church or know God. So it's not like a typical church youth group. It's actually more of an outreach youth group in a way. And so because of that, we have to these kids have this hunger for God that, honestly, I would love to see people in the church have. I mean, they have this like excitement about God, and they have this passion about God that I love, and I really wish I even had more of that, you know?
So you're basically reaching out to lost youth, and more than you're reaching out to saved and mature youth, or you're reaching out to lost youth and bringing them into Christ.
Yeah, totally, and I think we do have both, you know, but I would say a majority of it is to outreach to any kid that needs God, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They're all God's children. And they all have that assignment that God's called them to that they need to hear about.
Now, you and I were talking on the phone last night, and you brought up some things to me, and I said, and I asked you what you felt the Lord would place on your heart to share with the listeners. So what do you feel God has given you to share in these next few minutes to the listeners?
You know, after we talked, the Lord brought me to a passage. It was Matthew 9:15-17,
mm-hmm.
and it's where John the Baptist's disciples come to Jesus, and they say, there's something different about you guys. And they say, why don't your disciples fast like the Pharisees? Why don't you guys act like the Pharisees do? What is different about you? And Jesus said, use the example, well, why would a bride mourn when the bridegroom's with them?
Mm.
Why would you put an old piece of dried cloth on a new piece of clothing?
Mm.
Why would you put new wine into old wineskins?
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about, in that context, he's talking about religiosity.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about the wine represents a spirit throughout the Bible.
Mm.
So he's talking about, if I'm going to outpour my spirit on people, you know, why would I pour it into a vessel that's not ready to receive it? And I think that's a word for the church. And I think that's a passion of my heart, is to really help the church understand that the Lord is going to pour his spirit out.
On all flesh.
On all flesh, because we are in the last days.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of Christians, you know, it is true that there will be trials and tribulations in the last days.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? In addition to that, he's going to outpour his spirit on all flesh. And that gets me excited to the point where I'm ready to handle trial and tribulation, because if I got the presence of God with me, nothing else matters.
That's a good point. So how do we get there?
Mm. how much time we got? 2 hours left? Okay.
You got a little over 20. You got a little over 18 minutes.
Okay. Well, you know, the Bible says, take every thought captive into obedience of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I would apply that also to attitudes.
Explain.
Well, the reason why is you can take every thought captive for a moment, but an attitude is a repetition of different thoughts with a pattern. So a lot of times we develop bad attitudes. And we develop
a lot of times.
Maybe all the time. And in lieu of that, we develop bad mindsets.
Mm-hmm.
So I think as the church, we need to step away from what I would call religious thinking. And that gets back to the new wineskins.
Mm-hmm.
The old wineskins represents, we like to have control as mm-hmm. people. You know, we like to be the ones in control. We like to have our churches perfect. We like to come in Sunday morning looking perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Jesus' ministry was never perfect. He had to deal with a lot of issues.
How could his ministry never been perfect if he was perfect?
Ooh, good question, because he wasn't in a perfect world.
That's a good point.
However, what is perfection, right?
Exactly. You want to tell us?
Yeah. This is going to be a hard, really complicated answer, but we'll just say Jesus, okay, is perfection.
Okay, I've heard another answer, but we'll go with you.
Trying to keep it simple here, you know?
Yeah.
One thing that Jesus did differently. He had a lot of freedom in his culture.
Yes, he did. More freedom than we have today.
Absolutely. And I think if we as a church stop trying to control situations based on our own opinions and our own mindsets.
On our own what?
Own opinions.
Oh.
Man's opinion.
Yeah.
And started going to God's word mm-hmm. and looking at how Jesus really acted, then the churches would look a lot different.
If we weren't operating our own opinions, people would see more love.
Absolutely. You know, I've heard this saying before, and it's kind of radical, but it always blows my mind. It goes like this. It goes, people love hearing about Jesus, but they really have a problem if you start acting like Jesus.
And, yeah, because they don't understand it.
Yeah. And
they hear it, but they don't see it. So when they see it, it really causes them to question what's really up.
Well, and it also, it's outside of their box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we love to put God in boxes.
Why?
Because we have control. For example, I preached a sermon on this, but the one box we put in is a logic box. If it's not logical, we don't want anything to do with it. It has to make sense to us. Well, if you go through the Bible and look at what Jesus did, a lot of the things he did not make sense at all, mm-hmm. you know, to man's view and man's mm-hmm. thoughts. So I think we really have to get out of that box of thinking.
A lot of things don't make sense because we're all trying to use this brain up here to try to make sense, and we can't a lot of times.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Say that a little louder, Jay.
You got to dethrone rationalism.
Attaboy.
Walk in the spirit.
Explain it a little bit, Jay.
Well, we're trained our whole lives, 1 + 1 = 2.
Yeah.
We're trained in educational systems, just rationalism, you know. Mm-hmm. In the Bible, you know, tithing, how does tithing make logical sense?
It doesn't. How does
the walls of Jericho march around the walls and shout and they fall make logical sense? How does step into the sea and it's going to split make any logic? God is a God of miracles.
Come on.
And we need to be walking according to His, walking in the Spirit, listening to Him. And lots of times if we got to dethrone logic lots of times to walk in the Spirit, to walk according to what He wants us to do. Because some of the things don't make logical sense that He calls us to do. But by faith and obedience, we'll see the miracles and the kingdom of God established as we follow Him and listen to His voice. And
makes sense.
You know, God gave us a brain, but He also wants us to walk and use the other side of our brain also.
Preach it, brother.
Back to you, Jay. I mean, back to you, Thad.
Okay, right on. I couldn't agree more. Jay.
I like what he had to say there, yeah.
Yeah, me and Jay are kindred spirits. But God, he's right. You know, we love to rationalize, and we love to try to tell God what to do.
Ooh, come on now.
And not only that, but the real question is, are we on God's side or is He on our side? You know?
Ooh.
A lot of times we say, well, God's on my side. Well, you know, there is examples of that in the Bible, but I think we as Christians... I hate to go there, but we as Americans, we try to make it the president of presidents and not the king of kings. What I mean by that is we try to make God a democracy when God is a king. He is a ruler, and there's no vote. There's no discussion.
But isn't he a governor, and isn't democracy a government?
It is, but I think I'm talking about how we view God.
Okay.
I'm talking about God himself.
Okay.
I'm all about democracy. I'm all about America. Hey, America. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is God himself has all authority and all dominion and all power.
Which we don't recognize, or we don't want to realize that, or we don't want to... We want to try to act a lot of times like we have the power and we have the authority, and we do through Christ and
that's
in
right.
Christ.
That's right.
But we need to focus on God and focus on what He wants to do instead of what we want to do, correct?
Absolutely. If you really understand who you are in Christ, you're going to understand that you have authority through Jesus. In addition to that, you're going to understand where your power comes from, through God and Jesus, not yourself. And a lot of times, things get a little scary, and things aren't always comfortable.
A little scary?
Not always comfortable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? If God's behind it, I'm behind it. And if it's uncomfortable, it's uncomfortable.
How can you tell if God's behind something or not, like with your youth group? How can you tell if God's involved in something or if He's not? And if He's not, how do you get Him involved?
That's a great point. I would say this goes into being led by the Spirit. Okay. One of the biggest things that we really push hard in our youth ministry is how to hear from God. Because a child, you know, I believe we all can hear from God. I believe we all have the ability to have prophetic giftings.
Not a lot of us recognize how to hear from God. So maybe you can explain a little bit about how to hear from God.
It's good. Okay. The Bible says that the word of God, or the sword of the Spirit, talking about the armor, okay, Ephesians 6, the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. So right there, Paul connects the sword and the Spirit together. The problem we have as Christians is we separate the Spirit from the Word.
How?
Well, there's a lot of times in the Bible, you know, if you really believe the Bible word for word, I think a lot of women wouldn't be speaking in churches. I think a lot of women would have jewelry if you talk about the Old Covenant. You have to let the New Covenant, you have to understand the Old Covenant, New Covenant. You have to understand being led by the Spirit. Even the idea of prophecy alone, a lot of Christians struggle with. But I'll tell you one thing. The prophecy and the Word of God always go hand in hand. And a lot of times we separate it. Either we're off in left field and we leave the Word of God out, or we take the Word of God completely literally and we aren't led by the Spirit in the reading of it. So you have two extremes there. And if you want to be just reading the Word of God, the Pharisees are a great example. Go ahead, Jay.
Go ahead, Jay.
I just think to hear God's voice, you got to get rid of fear.
Ooh, good.
Repeat that one more time.
You got to get rid of fear. Afraid of hearing wrong, afraid of hearing from a different spirit. God wants to speak to us.
Yep.
How much more does the Holy Spirit want to give good gifts to those who ask? I mean, God just, He wants to walk and talk with us every day of our life. And fear hinders us from hearing God's voice because of fear. Oh, that's just me. That's just this. And I just want to encourage people out there, man, get rid of the fear.
Come on.
And get some spiritual people around you that love God, that you know that are mature in the Lord, that hear God's voice, and bounce things off of them that you do hear. Start journaling. Start quieting yourself down. Start looking for vision and spontaneity, and just ask God a question on paper. Start answering it as if God's speaking to you, my son, and just let the Holy Spirit flow through you, and then submit that to some leaders and start learning God's voice. He's speaking to you all the time. The problem is you don't recognize it.
Yep.
And lots of times fear hinders that. So if I was going to teach someone on God's voice, first thing I'd attack is fear. Mm-hmm. And start just bringing them through the Word and showing them how God speaks and so forth. But just there's certain things that can change your whole life. Just hearing God's voice alone is an amazing, life-changing thing in a Christian walk, is when people start learning God's voice instead of just going off, you know, everything has got to line up with the theology of the Bible. But in the same sense, you know, I remember the days where I was just, God's word, does this line up with His word? From the days where, man, I'm just walking with God and enjoying His voice, and He drops ideas and knowing His voice. And there's a huge difference in between.
I think to hear God's voice, you got to learn how to trust Him.
Yep.
Because how are you gonna hear someone if you don't trust them? You could talk to me all day long, but if I don't trust you, I'm not going to listen to you. And I think a lot of people need to recognize how good God is in order to trust Him. The church has painted a negative picture of God instead of a positive picture of God. They've got God up in the air with a bullwhip in His hand ready to smack the snot out of you if you blow it. Instead of grace, it says you're covered.
Come on.
It doesn't give you a license to sin, but when you sin, you're covered.
That's right.
When you sin, His grace abounds. It enables you not to sin, but when you blow it, you're still covered.
Yep.
But a lot of people think, oh, I've blown it. Now they fall under guilt, condemnation, and shame. And you and I talked a little bit about that last night, Tad. Yeah. Do you want to cover that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, it all goes back to our God view, kind of what you're talking about. You know, is God a loving father or is He an angry father? And this is an idea. What I love about youth, too, is that they, we talked about fear. You know, Jay talked about fear. And the question is, what do we fear?
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to hearing God, I think the biggest thing is what people think about us. Man's opinion is what we fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing youth are strong in, is they really don't care what people think about them.
They shouldn't.
But that rawness of not caring what people think about them, it leaves them wide open to receive from the Lord. And I'm telling you, there's times I've seen youth do things that I would love to see people who've known God 90 years do.
Like what?
Just being willing to receive His presence. You know, there's times in our youth ministry that we do worship. We have a youth worship team, like a youth worship band. And the presence of God is heavy with those kids. I mean, I got college age and we got high school age doing that. The presence of God is heavy, and they recognize it, and they want more of it. They're hungry for more of God. And if I could just let some of the church see that, oh my gosh, it would change our mindsets, knowing that as a child can even come to God. Let the children come, Jesus said. You know, don't hold them back. And I think that's where we as a church, you know, can really open up our minds to letting the presence of God be welcomed, like Jay said, not fearing what's going to happen, but letting the Lord have control.
How do we do that?
Well, getting back to fear,
I think exposing the lies that we believe, asking the Lord, is there any lies I believe, and hearing His voice clearly.
That's a good one, but how do we get to that point?
Are you asking me?
You're the one I was just talking about.
I think it's just getting real with God.
Yeah.
Getting in the Word, getting with Him, learning His voice, and just saying, you know, Lord, is there any lies that I'm believing, any misconceptions? And He is faithful to point those out. My wife just did a ladies' retreat a while back, and that was one of the things, and it was amazing as the ladies just asked the Lord, is there any lies that I'm believing? And the things they wrote down was amazing, and they were right on the money to the lies they believe that are hindering them in their walk with God, hindering them in being more effective for the kingdom of God, and just hindering them from the joy and his peace and presence. And it's amazing when you just ask God, just with that simple childlike faith, Lord, is there any lies that I'm believing?
It's good.
In a quiet place.
Come on now.
And letting the Holy Spirit reveal them to you.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you write them down on paper. You look, you research them in the Word. Yes. And and because you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Yes.
Yeah, the truth will set you free.
And it's so really, what are the lies that you're believing? And the church has really bought into a lot of lies that has hindered the church for a long time.
What is one of those lies that you want to expose or you want to bring out so people can see what one of those lies is?
I would say one lie is, how would I say this? When the Word of God says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, the church is really, like, we have our own Christian television, we have our own Christian radio, we have our own Christian schools, and man, that's the world and this is the church. And I really believe that's a lie, because God has called us to be the light of the world.
That's right.
I understand when there's a new believer and, you know, if they have an alcohol problem, you shouldn't go to the bar.
Yeah.
You know, but God has called us to be Jesus and walk like him and be the light of the world. And he was not afraid of sin. He was not afraid of people who are in sin. And the church, lots of times, not the church, but a lot of Christians have this ideology, and I believe it's a lie, that they're afraid of sin, like it's going to jump on them or something. Like if I'm around these people, I'm going to do what they're doing. You know, and I understand there's, when you're around, but God wants us to be the thermostat and not the thermometer.
Come on.
And when we truly learn who we are and break those lies off ourselves and begin to walk as Jesus did in our true identity. Because if someone, another lie, we're sinners saved by grace. Well, my Bible says that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, that the old man is dead, that I'm a son of God, that I'm a child of the King, that I'm a royal priesthood, more than a conqueror, a royal nation. And if you walk, if you believe you're a sinner, you're going to walk as a sinner.
Wow.
If you believe you're a son, you're going to manifest Jesus. You're going to walk as a son. And you're going to see so much more victory in your life when you stop believing the lies, and you're going to be more effective for the kingdom of God because you believe the truth of who you are in Christ and who he is in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you're going to be walking in so much more freedom, so much more joy, and you're going to be so much manifesting the kingdom of God in your workplace and in your place. You know, there's so many lies people believe that hinder them from being effective as a child of the God.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Yeah. Wow.
I have one more thing along the lines of how you talked about how you identify things in your heart, right, that need to be worked on. Another example is people you trust, okay? Mm-hmm. Having other people help you identify that. A great example is my wife. There was a situation we were going through, and my wife's very prophetic. And she didn't want to tell me something that she had gone through. And I said, well, why not? And she said, well, I just feel like if I tell you this thing about this person, I feel like you may have something against him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I love everyone. I'm a good guy, right? Well, turns out I checked my heart on that because she said that to me. And she discerned that in me. Sure enough, the way I talked about that person when I talked to her, my countenance about that person, there was little warning signs about lies I was believing about that person I didn't even identify until my wife had to point it out to me. So I would say if you trust someone, especially in a husband-wife relationship or a really close friend,
trust.
Listen to what God's saying through them too, you know, and then take it to the Lord like Jay said too and say, what do I do with this, Lord? You know, we got to be careful of those lies that sneak in. We don't even identify them sometimes.
People that we trust have a tendency to point out things to us that we can't see that they can't see because they know us more than we know ourselves.
That's good.
I want to say something, but Jason was saying earlier, and it slipped my mind. But Jason, you want to say something else? Go ahead.
I want to say, really, sin isn't the problem. Mm-hmm. It's the lies that are believed.
Exactly. Sin's not the problem.
And so many times we get this, we point our fingers at, you know, there's two spirits that I want to stay far away from, and that's a religious spirit and a political spirit.
Yep.
A religious spirit will pick up rocks and want to throw them. A political spirit will try to sweep it under the carpet like it never happened.
Yep.
And those are two spirits I want to stay away from. And lots of times the church, the body of Christ sometimes gets a little religious.
Yeah.
They want to pick up stones and say sin, sin, when they're not seeing the person through God's eyes.
Exactly.
And showing the love that need to be shown for that person to be restored and healed and set free.
Yeah.
And really, the lie that person's believing is the problem.
Mm.
The sin is just a fruit of the lie that's believed. And so when you can expose the lie in love with the truth, man, you see freedom. You see people, the lights come on. You see people transformed before your very eyes because you showed them the love of God. And you walked alongside of them enough where they can see the difference, see joy that you have. And you begin to talk with them and see lies and ask them, man, what lies are you believing? That's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could just give you example after example, but it's...
So we're going to stop for a second. We're going to...
Welcome, listeners, to this short break. We also want to remind you that there's a couple of events in Chico coming up. One of them is the Taste of Chico. It's coming up, so enjoy that. Downtown Chico at the City Plaza. Thank
you. When is that date?
It is, thank you, it is Sunday, September 25th.
Okay.
At noon to 4.
Yeah, and we're back in the studio again. And, Tad, you had an announcement, too, that you want to give out.
Yeah, real quick shout-out, guys. Our youth group puts on this annual taco feed every year. And it's going to be Saturday, which I believe would be today when this airs, on September 24th,
yes.
Capay School. The address is 7504 Cutting Avenue. And it'll be from 5 to 8 p.m. Saturday night, September 24th. All you can eat tacos, $6 a person. You can't beat that.
Yum.
Come support the kids, man.
So, Jason, amen. We're going to get to you right away because we're doing half and half. So we're going
right.
to get to you right away. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and then go into what the Lord has revealed to you or showed you regarding ministry since you've been a pastor just a little over a year. You could probably even bring us into what brought you, what opened the door for that to happen. So tell us a little bit about you.
About me. I'm an Oregon boy, born and raised in Oregon. Got saved when I was 16, first one in my intermediate family to come to know the Lord. And in a family of four, and man, I've just been, take a Volkswagen Bug and put a 350 Chevy in it and turn it towards God and, you know, pedal to the metal towards God. That's been me ever since I was 16. And just was at the church every time the doors were open. God called me in the ministry.
How?
I just saw the need and the passion in my heart. And just seeing the need around me everywhere I go, my heart would just break. I mean, still, I can get choked up real quick. You get me talking about cities and how there's so many rural cities without youth pastors. I mean, it's just amazing. There's not enough radical Jesus lovers that'll just answer the call of God on their life. They're a lot of times caught up in the American dream and, man,
caught
I
up
need
in
to
the
have retirement. I need to have this.
Caught up in the American dream?
Yeah.
Instead of God's dream?
Yeah.
That's why we're having such
living for this world rather than that one.
And this world's just temporary, isn't it?
That's right. Come on.
Why do we
Christ who's my life.
Why do we live for something temporary when we should be looking for the eternal? Because we're not going to be here forever. We're just passing through. But yet we live here and we want everything and we want to live through everything instead of really focusing and looking toward the eternal. You want to explain that?
Man, that's a deep question, but if I could say something, it would be wisdom again. Worldly wisdom says, I got to have a retirement. I got to have a nice car. I got to have a nice house, keep up with the Joneses. And that whole lie can be really easily bought into. I see when I read through the Bible and I look at Apostle Paul, there was a man of radical faith that brought riot revival wherever he went. And, lots of times he made tents to support his ministry habits. Other times he was sleeping on a ship. Other times in prison. I mean, it all depends. You know, like one of my heroes is Heidi Baker.
She's good.
Over in Mozambique. I mean, her and her husband went off with $30 to a country. It's like you look at some people, and it all depends on your faith and your walk with God. God hasn't called everybody to be that radical, I would say, but... he's called us all to be about the kingdom and bring and establish his kingdom wherever we're at, doing whatever we're doing in all areas of life, from government to entertainment to, anyway, don't get me in that. Go ahead, Dad. He's raising
it. Well, I have a point along with that.
I wanted to say something.
Go ahead.
Jason said to be about the kingdom. There's a difference between the kingdom and heaven. And what I notice is a lot of Christians are focused on heaven, focused on getting there now. And they're not. I haven't seen too many Christians that I know of really focus on or talk about or express being about the kingdom. And last Sunday, we were around a minister by the name of Richard Mungry, whose message is the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Why are Christians so focused on heaven and not the kingdom of Jesus being brought to earth? And, Tad, you were going to say something, so maybe you could cover that, too.
I can go on that if you want me to.
Well, go ahead, and then I'll follow up on you.
Here's another lie that the church, it's not a lie, but the great escape, I call it theology. The America, with the preaching of the rapture, which we all know the rapture is true and it's going to happen.
Yeah.
We just don't know when.
Yeah. But in the same sense, rather than focusing on the kingdom, the churches lots of times have walked in a place of, man, persecution's going to come, the tribulation's going to come, and we need to be prepared for that, and hoping the rapture's going to come and just take us all out of here because this country's a big mess. Mm-hmm. And instead of being about the kingdom and the Father's business, and mm-hmm. And rather than being the salt and light of the world, they've bought into that theology, and mm-hmm. I encounter it all the time. Like, man, I hope, you'll hear other brothers and sisters say, man, I hope the rapture comes, just takes us all out of here, rather than what has God called me to do right now? What has God called me to do? Mm-hmm. How has God called me to manifest him and his love in this community and this nation? And what can I do right now for his kingdom? Lord, what do you want me to do? Mm-hmm. And with that son's heart, how can I manifest and glorify my King and my Lord and my Savior? And have that heartbeat rather than the other. Man, I can go on that.
Oh, Jay just pitched me a heck of slow ball. I'm going to knock it out here. thanks for the pitch, Jay.
You're welcome.
No, so we as Christians struggle with priorities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so the word radical comes to mind. You saw Heidi Baker, different people in ministry that I think are awesome. We call them radical people. Well, we are very radical about the things we do. Mm-hmm. Our retirement, like Jay said, different things in our lives we are radical about. So I think we have a priority issue here. Okay? We mm-hmm. live in such a way where we live earth to heaven, and we think we're going to build our way to heaven.
A good one.
It's not earth to heaven. It's heaven to earth.
That's right. Bringing heaven to
like
earth.
Like Jay said. How do we bring that idea?
Your kingdom come, Lord.
That's right. And we need to change our mindset on how we view the church, how we view people. Because how does God really view them?
Exactly. I agree with that.
And if we lived in that way, where we had heaven inside of us, which aka the kingdom,
mm-hmm.
man, we would be unstoppable.
Kingdom mentality.
That's right.
I want to bring up a point real quick. I've heard a couple ministers in my lifetime say some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. But the other day I heard someone say, that's ridiculous. If you're heavenly minded, you're going to be earthly good. Because if you're minded about the things of heaven, you're going to be bringing it to earth, and that's going to bring about the good. Mm-hmm. We get so earthly minded, I think we become no heavenly good.
Come on.
Because we're so focused, Christians especially, so focused on, we want God to come, but we want things done now. Yeah. We want things done our way, and it better happen our way, or we begin to lose trust and faith.
Mm.
So when the world's watching us and they're not seeing what we want to happen, and they see us getting discouraged and down and depressed and saddened and not owning responsibility over our emotions and not guarding our hearts, and they see us worse than them, they don't want what we've got. They're like, but when they see us heavenly minded, focused on heaven and what God's word says, that his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Mm.
And we're stepping out, speaking the truth and speaking faith and watch. Then they want that because they're like, whatever that is, I want it. Go ahead, Dad.
Well, I was going to say that. I think sometimes we feel insecure around people who may not be where we're at. And we can become jealous. We can become covetous towards our relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be very careful that we encourage, we take that fire they have instead of try to judge that fire they have.
Mm.
Because that's all we're doing is simply judging. And where does judgment come from? Well, I believe it comes from a religious spirit.
Talk a little bit about that religious spirit.
Well, Jay did a great job at explaining it. But a lot of times when I think of religious spirit, the thing that comes to my mind is judgment, condemnation, and control.
Yeah.
Okay. Those three things are linked to a religious spirit. And so when I feel one of those three things in my heart, mm-hmm. I am constantly saying, whoa, 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 that's not Jesus. So I'm checking myself on that. And then it's good to identify where it's coming from in other people, not to judge them, but to simply understand where they're at and how to pray for them and maybe how to speak truth, like Jay said, to set them free. Because that religious spirit is a very strong one and we all struggle with it. The goal is to help our churches be a place of freedom and safety from that spirit.
And how do we do that?
You want to go, Jay? You got this.
I think just preaching the truth.
Come on.
Something the Lord has had me on is identity.
Mm.
For almost a year, just preaching identity, because so many people believe so many lies and they have a hard time accepting the truth of who they are in Christ. Mm. It's so good. He's so amazing.
Yeah.
And Christ in you, the hope of glory, come on.
Yeah.
I mean.
The hope of what?
The hope of glory.
Why don't Christians recognize that?
I mean, that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, that you're no longer a sinner, but a saint who sometimes sins. I mean, more than a conqueror. Mm. I mean, you can just go through identity scriptures. I mean, Ephesians lists a ton, just the benefits of being a Christian. And it's like, it's just so amazing. Because one of the first things the enemy attacked when Satan went in the wilderness was his identity.
Come on.
He said, you know, all of a sudden, John baptized Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and the voice thunders from heaven, "This is my son whom I love and whom I'm well pleased." He goes in the wilderness, and the first thing the enemy says, "If you are the Son of God."
Wow.
He attacked his identity. "If you are the Son of God," three times. And it's like, yeah. Our identity is so important, because when you learn who you are in God and who he is in you, there's no stopping you.
Yeah.
And you begin to manifest. Just like if you believe you're a son, you're going to walk as a son. You're going to manifest Jesus, because that's who you are. You're not going to be walking according to the law and when you're dead to the law. You know, it's like you're alive in Christ. Yeah. And you're going to walk as a son. Therefore, you're going to fulfill the law, because that's who you are.
Mm.
And rather than falling in guilt and condemnation.
Wow.
And so much more. It's just identity is so important, because when you know your inheritance and you know who you are and believe that, I mean, an ambassador of Christ, knowing what an ambassador is, that, I mean, that can set someone so free.
Yeah. A point that we need to clearly bring out.
And walk in more authority and power.
Yeah. A point that we need to clearly bring out about Jesus' identity being attacked. John said, "This is not John. God said, this is my beloved son."
Yes.
What did the devil say? The son. He took away the beloved.
That's right.
He took out part of the identity.
That's good.
And that's what the devil tries to do to you and I.
Yep.
We are the beloved sons of God, but he'll say, "Oh, you're just a son of God. You're just his child." No, I'm his beloved child. I'm the one that he loved first, that he put me here for a reason and a purpose.
Yeah.
And so we go around and we know we're loved, but when we blow it and stuff, we feel all this condemnation, guilt, and shame. We want to put ourselves back under that old label.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I have a problem with Christians walking around saying, "I'm a sinner saved by grace."
Mm-hmm.
You were a sinner. You're now saved by grace. So you're now a saint. You're no longer a sinner. So if you want to go around calling yourself a sinner, you haven't really experienced that true identity in Christ. Because when you're experienced in him and he's in you and you're his righteousness, you can't go around calling yourself a sinner. There's no way. You don't even belong to that old nature. Your old nature is done away with. You're a new nature in Christ.
Mm.
You're a new man. So to go around saying, I'm still a convict. No, you're not a convict anymore. You're free. He who the Son sets free is not convicted. He's free. But we still live like convicts.
I was just going to say, I think along the lines of what you're saying, part of the real problem is, do we know what God's glory looks like? You know, do we know? I don't think we recognize it. And I think if we really understood God's glory, it is simply the power of a changed life, the power that lives inside of us that makes us who we are, right? Our identity in Jesus inside of us, you know? And then when you see manifestations of glory, there's all kinds of examples of that. You hear stories of his presence, right, being shown in the churches. And I think we need to have our hearts open to whatever that looks like.
How do we do that in this world that we're in?
Well, part of the problem is that the examples, we have to understand that the examples we have aren't accurate. I think we read the Bible and we disconnect from what it really is like, what it really was like for Jesus. We don't even understand that. We have this world we live in. We are very privileged. If we really understood what it was like to walk with Jesus and see miracles on a day-to-day basis, which I believe we will see.
Mm-hmm. We are seeing.
We are seeing. I like that. We are seeing. Absolutely. And we will see more. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you.
Put on the God goggles.
Come on. And it's going to be, God is going to pour himself out on the church in such a way the church has to be ready for it.
And it's not.
It's not. But I tell you right now, we have to understand that the church, in order to hold revival, and you study a lot of revivals in the past, they're like a spark, like a flicker, and they went away. And you know what? God is going to create a new revival in such a way where we're going to have the church reformed to such a point where we can hold the revival as a container.
Well, you and I spoke last night. We talked about getting away from the word revival and getting to the word awakening.
Yes.
The church needs to be awakened.
Mm-hmm.
The church is asleep.
Yes.
And Christ, the clock is ticking. Hell is burning while the church sleeps. That's an old song.
Mm.
And people are being ignored.
Yes.
The souls are being, we're sitting there going, well, they'll get reached whether we reach them or not. So we expect, I expect you to go and witness to people, but I'm not going to.
Mm.
Wait a minute, didn't Christ call me to go and share my faith? So if I see somebody, shouldn't I be, instead of thinking you're going to do it and bring them to Christ, neither you or I can win them to Christ. But if I'm not sharing with them, I'm expecting you to share with them, and you don't share with them expecting me to share with them, who's going to tell them? And hell is burning while the church sleeps. We need to wake up. We need to come to a realization of not law, but grace. And let the unbelievers see the meaning of grace so they'll want the God that we serve. Because they're not going to want the law. The law brings them to the knowledge that they need a Savior. But once they need a Savior, then they need to accept God's grace. Because it's not works that saves us.
Mm.
So why do we think our works is going to keep us saved?
Or we can just pay a pastor to share God's word with people, and we don't have to, right? Isn't that a great idea? I'm being sarcastic.
Aren't we all becoming? Aren't most churches dependent on the pastors instead of the sheep that are in it?
Absolutely, that's my point. Go for it, Jay.
I was going to say Matthew, when he separates the sheep and goats, he doesn't say, "Did you call my pastor?"
Oh, ouch!
He doesn't say, "Man, when I was in prison, did you call my pastor? When I was in the hospital, did you call my pastor?" When I was in need at your door, you know, did you call the church? He said, you know.
What have you done?
Yeah, you are my hands, feet. And I think that's that identity thing.
Yeah, it is.
You know, when you learn who you are, man, you'll start walking in who you are, and you'll start walking as Jesus did when you learn who you truly are in Christ.
Mm.
It's the lies that keep us from walking in the truth, and Jesus is the truth. And it's like, how the enemy wants to keep us from knowing who we are in God, because then we're no threat to the kingdom of darkness.
Wow.
And when we learn that we are truly the salt and light of the world, and that light always overcomes darkness,
come on.
And greater is he who is in us than he is in the
come
world.
On.
It's like there's no fear.
Yep.
There's no fear of sin's going to jump on you that man, I'm going to, it's, yeah, temptation is real, but man, we are the head and not the tail. And we've overcome him by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb.
Mm.
And not loving our lives so much to the point
God
that
God is amazing. I want to kind of get back to that point, though.
Sure.
I was sharing about myself. When I was 19, I accepted a staff position in Sutter, California, and I was the expendable one, you know. We went through 3 youth pastors in 3 years. I was the children's pastor and ran the drama team and bus ministry and the big days and clean the church. That's how I got paid. Lived in a staff house. My senior pastor I was under at the time sent me out to Williams, California, this little home church, home missions church, been praying 8 years to start a youth ministry. Went out there. 50 kids get saved, getting filled with the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
Getting rocked in the presence of God. One girl went home and her dad called the pastor, just ticked, thinking we got her drunk because she was drunk in the spirit. I mean, God was just moving, bringing healing on unforgiveness, doing incredible things. And that was just just huge breakthrough. But it was because that church's been praying 8 years.
Yeah, come on.
And but I used to drive through Colusa twice a week going out there on my one day off lots of times. I was getting paid $50 a week, and then it was like 100. I mean, I was giving my life for Christ. My life was Christ. And I used to cry going through Colusa because there was not, at that time, not a single youth pastor in the whole town.
Wow.
Not a single youth pastor in the whole town. And I used to just break, Lord, where's your harvesters that are called to Calusa that haven't been obedient? Because, you know, they get out of Bible college, they're $20,000 in debt. They marry someone in Bible college, now they're $40,000 in debt. And, you know, I went to a master's commission, graduate debt-free, used to living in a home opener's home. So all it took was someone to open their home, say, here's a home, and man, we can take care of your car insurance.
Yeah.
And, man, I was obedient to the call of God because I knew God called me there. And I saw a huge fruit that I still see today. Kids walking with the Lord, serving the Lord. I mean, I just got a text from one last night. Just amazing things. And I mean, that was 20 years ago. Yeah. I'm 41 now. And that was when I was 19. And God is just
10 years ago.
but my heart breaks, especially for these rural towns.
Yeah.
Because there's so much need.
Yeah.
And there's so many youth that are hurting and crying, and yet, you know, the town that I'm in right now, man, I'm praying for a youth pastor. I mean, we'll have a staff house soon. We can take care of housing. Got a part-time job for them. But who has God called there?
Yeah.
I mean, there's not a single youth pastor in the whole town except Thad driving out from Capay, bringing a van, picking up kids, and bringing them out there. There's not a single youth pastor in the whole town. That breaks my heart.
There is somebody out there that's called.
God has called us all to manifest the Son in every aspect of life, but I know God is calling certain people to lay their lives down like I did when I was 19 for Orland, for Corning, there's town after town that have needs, but there's few people willing to pay the price. There's few people willing to lay their life down, say, that's me, I'm willing to pay the price, and I have no regrets. Even now, my wife and I, by divine providence, are in Orland. I mean, there's no doubt he's called us there. That's a huge story in itself that would really encourage a lot of people. But I mean, we're living on $1,200 a month with free housing. I mean, not everyone would accept that position. But I know God has called us, and the church is, I mean, we started in November with 12 people. It's average attendance now, 60, 70. But, you know, it's not about attendance. It's about releasing people in the kingdom of God. I'm not there to control anybody. I'm there to release people, to train them who they are in God and see them manifest him in every area of their life. And it's just amazing to see that culture in a church, a culture of honor, where people want to say, man, I have an issue. I want that freedom, rather than try to hide it because of a spirit of religion and control.
Yeah.
And so it's just been so fun walking with God all these years and seeing God transform lives and move powerfully. And I'm finally, I'm just excited where God has my wife and I and what the things he's given me and told me specifically to do. I mean, specific strategies. Lord, what's your strategy for this town? What's your strategy for this city, God? What do you want me to do? And following the Holy Spirit there and seeing his kingdom manifested, it's fun. It's a fun ride.
I was going to talk about my perspective in Orland. You know, I grew up there my whole life, Capay, Orland areas. And so being in the trenches with youth ministry, having Jay and his wife Dee come into the community is a huge blessing because of their fire and passion they bring.
Such.
And I'm telling you right now, God's given me several words for our area, and God is going to move heavily in the Orland area.
Come on.
And that's a message to all the churches in Orland, all the pastors in Orland. Be prepared for an outpouring of the Lord. And amen. I'm telling you, it's going to happen through a unity in the body of Christ. And Jay is a huge part of that. And I just commend him and Dee's passion and commitment to the Lord, because there will be reward for the sacrifices they have.
I want to say, it's about the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
You know, God told me when I got there, he said, seek first my kingdom. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about building a church. I will build my church. It's
exactly.
My church. Just build my kingdom. And so that's what I've been focused on, just building his kingdom. Mm-hmm. It's hard at times because, you know, there's so many demands and things as far as ministry goes, you know, from expectations. But God is amazing as you just focus on his kingdom and have a kingdom heart, what he can do and the people he brings. And I just want to encourage everyone out there, seek first, Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. His kingdom, not your kingdom, not building a church, not but his kingdom.
Wow.
If every choice we made was for the highest good of his kingdom, we would see radical transformation.
I want to make a couple of points. Point number one, if you're in the way, get out of the way.
Mm.
God can't do what he wants to do in the community or the church if you're in the way. So if you're in the way, get out of the way.
Mm.
An old youth pastor, minister friend, he's probably in his 60s now, Donnie Moore with Radical Reality Ministries, basically made the comment one time, Lord, get me out of the way. You take over, and I'm out of the way. Take over. And the other thing that I want to say is not only get out of the way, but whose ministry is it anyways? It's Christ's, right?
Yep.
So he said if he be focused on. So it doesn't have to do with you. It has to do with the Lord. It doesn't have to do with who you are. It has to do with who he is.
Mm.
So moving yourself out of the way. And he said if he be lifted up, he'd draw all men unto him. So is he being lifted up? And, you know, a lot of us get this focus on me, myself, and I. Get it off of you.
Yep.
Get it on him. It's not about you being lifted up. It's about him being lifted up. I know Jason, and I don't know Tad very well, but I've met him and spent a little bit of time with him, and they're not about themselves. They're about the kingdom, and they're about Christ. So I just want to put that out there. And if there's anybody out there that's struggling and you need prayer, we're here for you. But Jason had something in the Bible that he wants to share. So go ahead, Jason.
Oh, man. Colossians chapter 3. I just love this. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ mm-hmm. sitteth at the right hand of God.
Yeah.
Basically, focus on his kingdom.
Mm.
Set your affection on things above, not on the things of this earth. Are we living for our home, which is heaven? Are we living for this world?
Yeah.
Which one are we focused on? On his kingdom? Or are we focused on ourselves?
Mm.
And I love verse 3. It says, for ye are dead. For you're dead. Do you really believe you're dead? It says, for you are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God.
Yeah.
And then I love verse 4. When Christ, who is our life? Let me ask you listeners this. Is Christ your life?
Yeah.
Is he what you're about? Is he your life? Are you all in? Are you all in with Christ? Christ, who is your life, shall appear. Then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
Mm.
I just love those four verses because... Man, are you focused? I mean, this is not our home.
No, we're just
We're just aliens and strangers
yeah.
here. Are we living for this world? Or are we living for that one?
Just and, passing through.
And I just want to challenge the depth of that.
Mm.
Because it's really easy to start focusing on this world. It's easy to get distracted by the needs and everyday things of family and things that go on. But the main thing, no guilt and condemnation here. I'm not trying to guilt trip anybody here. I'm not trying to, manipulate anybody. I'm just saying, man, when you learn out who you are, that you're a son, a child of God, that you're a new creation in Christ, that the old is gone, that you're no longer under the law, but under grace, that you're saved by faith through him, and you just walk in that relationship, you will manifest him. And you'll become so close to him and walk with him. You'll begin to walk as he did.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to challenge you to find out who you are in God and who he is in you. And to make him go all in with Jesus. Go all in with him. Don't hold back.
Yeah.
Make him your life. Seek first his kingdom. And all these other things will be added unto you. That's a promise you can take to the bank. Yeah. I remember, let me just share a quick story, a quick testimony.
We're almost
on that.
We're almost out of time.
Oh, we're out of time?
Yeah, almost. All Dad, right. You want to say something
I just
before
you
pray?
I just want to add on to Jay. When he was sharing, I felt the Lord say there's a lot of listeners that are listening to this right now, and the word is trapped. I feel like you're trapped, and I feel like you need to experience freedom because God's word says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom or liberty.
Amen.
And I feel like you need to have freedom, and the only way you're going to get freedom is by true surrender. Mm-hmm. To Jesus and making him the Lord of your life. Not just an idea that you hang on to of God, but the reality of who Jesus is in your life and that he is the head of your life.
Amen.
So if that's you, just have hope.
start looking in the Word. Ask the Lord to reveal to you what your specific situation is. But I feel like there's power in what Jay just said. And if that's you, please go, heed that verse. What was that verse again? Colossians?
Colossians 3, 1 through 4.
Yeah.
Well, there's seven words that'll change for Sly, old R.A. Torrey chapter. Not my will, but yours be done.
Mm.
Not my will, but yours be done. Seven words that can change your life.
Pray us out, Jay.
Oh. Father, I just pray for everyone that's listening right now.
Yes.
I ask God that you begin to speak to their heart.
Yes.
Lord, I pray for encounters with you.
Come on.
Encounters, Lord, open heavens, Lord God, revelation, Lord. Jesus. Just draw them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that every lie that they might believe or have believed that would begin to be exposed by the truth and your love, Lord God. Lord, just begin to help them to ask you, what lies am I believing, Lord? Is there any lies that I believe that are not from you? And God, I just thank you as they begin that journey, Lord God, that you're so good to reveal those lies and expose those lies, Lord God. You're so faithful. And Lord, we just rejoice. And Lord, I just pray that you just begin to speak to each here who they are in you and who you are in them. Lord, that they begin to learn who they are. Lord, in you. Lord, that you dwell in them.
Mm.
And Lord, I just pray that you begin to break. Lord, people get hurt.
Mm.
And because they get hurt, they set up boundaries. They set up walls. Churches do it. Mm. Lord, pastors do it. And then a spirit of control comes in. And because we don't want to get hurt again, we got to do these things, Lord. And I just pray you just break all that down.
Yes.
Bring healing to every wound. Mm. Lord, Lord, your people would be released for the kingdom of God.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Lord, in Jesus' name, just begin to flow. Mm. Begin to touch pastors. Begin to touch your children. Lord, begin to touch all those who called on your name. Lord, just to teach them who they are in you and who you are in them. And we just thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing through this nation, through the world, Lord God. You are amazing. We love you. And we give you the glory and praise. And Father, just begin to touch people's hearts. May they put on your glasses and see the needs around them. Lord, may they take off their glasses and, Lord, put on your glasses and see people through your eyes. Lord, not religious glasses, not through political glasses, but through your glasses, God.
Yes.
And may their hearts break. Lord, as your heart breaks for children who do not know you, in Jesus' name,
Jesus.
Amen.
Until next week, have a great week. This is Christ Today.